today on Real Life Radio.
Did you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you say yes, then Jesus said, then your life better show a change. You'll know them by their fruit.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about an event we have coming up. It's called Just Church. You know, in a time when so many people have really stopped going to church due to fear, or maybe pain, or maybe just the convenience of watching online these days, maybe it's time to come back. Just Church is going to be a great time to gather as a body of believers to simply worship, hear a good, clear message, and radically rededicate our lives to the Lord. It's coming up Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. If you'd like some more info, go to justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, How's Your Business? You know, the Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 19, we'll consider a thought-provoking passage that Jesus shared with his disciples. You see, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and the people are buzzing with anticipation. They thought the kingdom of God was going to appear right away. But Jesus wanted to correct their misconceptions and teach them an important lesson with a parable. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God wants us to take risks for his kingdom, to step out in faith and make an impact in this world. When the time comes, he's going to evaluate our faithfulness and reward us accordingly. Now, in his message called, How's Your Business? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Verse 16, then came the first man. He came to Jesus. He had been invested. The Lord gave him a mina, a dollar. Let's just call it a dollar, an opportunity to invest. Mina is simply means this in Greek. It means 3 months' wages. Okay? 3 months. So 3 months' worth of work, income. The guy comes up and he says, look, Lord, I've been given this mina from you, and it has earned 10 minas. I put it out to invest it, and it's earned 10. That ain't a bad return, huh, Todd? That's not bad. Pretty good stuff. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Remember the issue was with this king-to-be from Herod, that he would inherit the realm. Jesus is saying, trying to communicate to the people, it comes across clearly, you were faithful with a little bit? Oh, that's so cool because, man, I'm going to make you, allow you to be faithful over great, great areas. And the guy, no doubt, jumped up and down. He was so excited. I'm sure. It doesn't say he was, but he had to be. Verse 18, and the second man came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5. That is still awesome. The beautiful thing is, Jesus didn't say, well, how? 5? The dude next to you had made 10. Oh, church, be encouraged. Have you seen somebody being greatly used by God? Don't judge yourself with them. Did you know the book of Colossians tells us that those who judge themselves among themselves are not wise people? Are you thinking that you've got to achieve the exploits of a Chuck Smith or a Charles Stanley or a Charles Spurgeon or a Billy Graham for God to get interested in you? Oh, by no means. Did you know that, listen, every bit of opportunity and ability that God has given you, he is going to require a dividend from who and what you are. And what he's required is tailor-made to your life. Don't look at somebody and say, well, I just might as well not even try because I can't be like them. I mean, I feel so futile as a pastor when at the church I grew up with and at with the pastor I had. I've only had one pastor in my life. I've been so blessed. But when I think of Chuck Smith and what God has done in his life, to have thousands and thousands of churches around the world start from one church in Costa Mesa, absolutely amazing. And when you, now look, You compare your life, I compare my life to that ministry, and I feel like burying my head in the sand. But God says, don't do that. Jack, you just be faithful to what I've called you to do, and on the other end, when the audit is done, you'll do fine if you stay faithful. And you say, well, Pastor Jack, what has God called me to do? That's for you to find out and to do it with all your heart and via or through his power. Absolutely awesome. The kingdom will not collapse. And so Jesus here, verses 16 to 19, gives us an audit, a breakdown. You know what? You think about this, and I just mentioned to you a moment ago, we had our taxes done. And did you know something? Did you know that your tax man knows everything about your life? I now realized. Did you know that? He said, what do you mean? He knows everything. You say, what do you, he doesn't know everything? You know what? He knows exactly where our priorities lie. How do you know? Because he looks into your books. He looks into your checking account. He knows exactly. He knows exactly. How much money goes to here? How much money goes to there? What about your charitable giving? What about this? Your income? Any other income? What about interest earned? What about everything you lost in the market? What about all the? He knows everything. He could have sat there and went, boy, were you stupid to invest in AIG. I mean, I didn't. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? He knows everything. And where are those priorities? The kingdom cannot collapse. Matthew 16, verse 13 begins this way. Matthew 16, 13. I love this verse. Listen carefully. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And so they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said, but who do you say that I am? Isn't that just like Jesus? He doesn't care about popular opinion. Isn't it cool? God cares less about the polls. You know, the recent polls show that Christians, you know, God doesn't care about polls. Jesus says, what do you say? And you know the story. Peter said, Simon Peter speaks up and says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus went on to say, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You need to remember that at a time like this. And I'll tell you the reason why. Did you know that cults in America are exploding? There are more and more cults being constructed. And they're doing great. But did you know that, quote, mainline Christian churches are dying? Did you know that foreclosure rates on mainline Christian churches are up 50%? Churches are closing their doors. They're going bankrupt. And then you do, listen, I encourage you, go do a little bit of study. Find out what's happening to those churches. Amazing thing. I was interviewed yesterday on a news program. They were asking me about this. They said, what's with you guys? The Calvary Chapel movement, I was honored to be responding for it. I didn't ask for that question. But the reporter said, we've noticed the Calvary Chapel movement is expanding. They're growing. They're adding seats. They're adding services while the mainline denominations are dying and folding up, closing doors, going bankrupt and foreclosures. What's the deal? And I said, listen, I'll tell you what the deal is. Here's the deal. When you substitute preaching and teaching the Word of God for sermonettes, for Christianettes about 12 steps to financial freedom and 12 steps to make yourself feel better rather than the cross of Christ, which is the power of the gospel, then you will see churches die and maybe they should die and get out of the way. And I don't know if that reporter was ready for that response. You know the old saying, what movie was that? Build it and they will come. You know that baseball movie? There's a lot of concept. Build a church and people will come. No, 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 no. Listen, don't do that. Preach the gospel and they'll come. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they'll follow me. A pastor just needs to proclaim the word of God. Every ministry that comes out of a church, proclaim the word of God. It's got to be based on the word of God. Why? It's the only sure thing that will never collapse. Even if this church is reduced to the side of a hill. It doesn't matter. Do you understand if an 8.5 earthquake knocks this building down, we'll just meet somewhere else. Hey, Jesus had people sitting on the side of a hill. It's biblical. He didn't have a building like this. Also this, it cannot be concealed. The gospel can't be hidden. Verse 20, then another one came. Here's this poor guy that sadly is a picture of the greatest populace. Master, here's your mina. Here's your dollar, which I have kept, what? Put away. Oh my. And a handkerchief. By the way, handkerchief, that word, this is kind of poetic. Handkerchief, it's a word used for grave cloth. Remember when Jesus rose from the dead, it said that his burial cloth was on one side and the handkerchief was on the other side, the head wrapping? That's what you wrap dead stuff with. Interesting verbiage, huh? Lord, here is your dynamic gospel that's alive. I had a funeral for it. I wrapped it up and I hid it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? The little kids sing that. Don't let Satan blow it out. Right? And you're not supposed to hide it. The kids 100 feet away from here in the other building, they know that. You know what happens when we grow up? We bury it at great, great detriment to us. Don't answer me. Have you ever witnessed to someone Jesus Christ, the gospel, and have you ever led them to Christ? Have you ever had the opportunity? Let me take that back. I know every one of us have had the opportunity. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? Did I quickly, because of embarrassment and fear? I don't know what to say. I'm a Christian, but I don't even know how to invite anybody into the kingdom of God, or I'm feeling funny. I don't want to say anything. And we wrap it up in a handkerchief and we bury it. And hope that the opportunity leaves. I don't want to lay some trip on us, but God had created that opportunity. The gospel cannot be concealed unless we conceal it. The greatest news the world has ever heard, that Christ died on the cross in my place. I was supposed to go there. He paid for my sins. He rose again because I was heading for hell and death. And he delivered that power from Satan into the Lord's hands and crushed the power of the grave. And the benefit is I get to go free. No, he says, I put it away in a handkerchief. I hid it. I played it safe. Imagine, can you imagine going to work tomorrow, telling your manager, hey boss, I tell you what, I'll be here on time every day. You don't have to worry about me. I'll clean up after myself. My books will be perfect. But I just can't tell anyone about the products we sell. See, Jack, that's stupid. That's ridiculous. Exactly. I'll be really good, God. I'll be on time to church. I might even sign up and sing in the choir. But I am not going to tell anybody outside the walls of this church about you. I just can't. That's fanatical. That's exactly who Jesus is talking about. In Mark 8:38, Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, when he comes, will be ashamed. Matthew 12:30 says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Christianity is not, as we mentioned before, a spectatorship. It's not a show. It's not for bystanders or dreamers or pretenders. It's not for almost Christians. And Jesus is making a grave warning. He said in Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of bass, fishers of shark, fishers of men. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are Christians? If you're a Christian, you are ordained by God to be a fisher of men. See, Jack, you're freaking me out here. Hang on a minute. Also, this, God's business is profitable because it cannot be contained. Verses 22 to 23. The man says, I know that you are an austere man. You're hard. This is how he viewed God. Jesus is saying, there are those who view me as very mean and very hard, and they're afraid of me. The Lord doesn't want you. Listen, you said, Pastor Jack, I thought the Bible says to be in fear of the Lord. And the word means in awe of him, in reverential awe of God. That you surrender everything to him. It doesn't mean to be sitting in the corner in a fetal position, sucking your thumb and trembling. That's what this man's doing. I'm terrified to meet God. I don't know. I'm going to hide away. People live like that. They never knew him. They might have been religious, but they never got excited about the gospel to say, Lord, awesome. And here's the deal. You see, Pastor Jack, I'm not a verbal person. I'm getting to that. Every one of us in the body of Christ has our role to play, but are you playing it?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Point number three, and we'll make this our closing point, verses 24 to 28. How's your business? Because God's business is forever. Wow, God's business is forever. Everything that you and I have. Have we not all as Christians always been reminded in the Bible that we don't even own it? Oh, yeah, the bank's got my house. The bank's got my car. Oh, I don't mean that. You think the banks own stuff? I think they've proven to us. Oh, my goodness. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You say, well, it doesn't look like it. It sure looks messed up to me. Mm-hmm. You want to know why? Because people took what the Lord has given them and they crushed it. And now he's launching an audit. And the day is coming. It's all his. And he's going to be reminding, and he is reminding the world of that right now. It's forever. We're playing for keeps, you guys. Verses 24 to 25, what's forever is being lived out right now in our lives. Right now, every one of us. Here's the amazing thing. I feel so cool. I feel so emboldened when I say this because it's so true. You can say, Pastor, I can't stand you. Go to the internet. It's full of all that stuff. There's a lot of people who can't stand me. I don't like your jacket. I don't like it either. It was the first thing I grabbed out of the closet. I don't care. If it wasn't for my wife dressing me, I'd probably be here in a t-shirt. I don't like the way you talk. Okay, I want out of here. A few more minutes. Here's the cool thing. How you invest your life, you don't answer to me. Isn't that great? I don't have to hear it, and you don't have to tell me. Don't ask, don't tell. But there'll be a day when God will ask, and you will tell. You don't have to tell the Pope. You don't have to tell Billy Graham. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell anybody nothing. And you don't have to do anything. But you will answer to him. And that gives me a lot of peace as a pastor. What do you want us to do? Tell you everything? Don't I know too much? Don't tell me anymore. But we are living our lives out for Christ right now, or we're not. He says in verse 24, to those who stood by, take what he's got away from him and give it to the man who invested and made profit. The guy who didn't do anything with it. In the end, before the Lord, what he did have was taken away. Issue? Life. Life will be taken away from him. It's called hell, by the way. A living, continuous, never-ending state of death. Except you never die. You're always getting there. But you never die. That's called hell. And it's a spiritual sense. Our physical bodies die. Happens every day. But the spirit lives on forever. The Bible says in Galatians 4:19, my little children, Paul said, for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. Is that not beautiful? I'm laying it down this morning because you know that's my heart's desire right there, Galatians 4:19, that Christ may be formed in you. That's my job. That's my calling. That you would hear this message and say, you know what, that's it. I'm changing my portfolio. I've lost so much. Imagine with what you've lost in your 401k, your retirement programs, or the value, just the value of your home alone. I mean, you're not home alone, but in your house, the value of it, what it's become. What if we were to take that collective money of each just individual, my house, just my home represented at my address, and had that money and invested it in the kingdom of God. Missionaries, getting the word out. Can you imagine? It's gone. No. God's business is forever. And what's forever now will matter then. There's a day coming. Verse 26, for I say to you that everyone who has it will be given, and from him who does not have, whatever he has, it will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Jesus speaks in that parable warning that there's an end coming. I did a funeral yesterday at Rose Hills, and it was packed with people, and it was, I have to tell you, I know most people hate funerals. I love funerals. I love funerals for this one reason. Nobody moves in a funeral. Nobody's distracted in a funeral. People sit there out of respect for the survivors and for the dead. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? Nobody moves. And by the way, everyone in the room is thinking about eternity. The most hardened atheist is sitting in that funeral, trust me, and he's thinking about, when am I going to die? There's an end coming. And how will you have invested your life? A funeral speaks about and displays that time was up. And I don't know how long you and I will live. This might be our last day. Who knows? You have no guarantee. You say, Pastor Jack, my day timer's full. I got all kinds of appointments going on. You may not be breathing this afternoon. And God's going to say, Fred, let's open the books. Let's check. Let's do a little audit here. And let's see. I gave you breath. I gave you legs. I gave you ears. I gave you whatever. And let's see how you used it to the glory of God. We end in verse 27 because what God's business is forever. And what's forever is, this is profound. What's forever is forever. And I drive it home this way. You guys, you can't miss. You can't miss by advancing God's kingdom. Why were these in the parable carted away and slain? Because they committed a treasonous act against the king in the parable. In the day of judgment, when that comes, the Bible says, in fact, write it down. I'll give you just a couple more verses. Matthew 7:20, listen to this. Jesus said in the end, therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Look at their lives. Jesus says, look at every human being you know and match their lives up against my word, and you'll know what kind of people they are. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. That's it. Do the will of God in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Hey, weren't we pastors, priests, evangelists? Weren't we religious people? Didn't we do it in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And have done many wonders or miracles in your name? Do you know any miracle workers? You think that matters to God? He says in verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him as a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Matthew 24:14, last verse of the day. Jesus said, and this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be preached in all of the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. You can close your Bibles. We'll end with this. Church, check it out. This is weird, and I need you to pay attention. Don't anybody move right now, because I don't want to get, I don't want to be misquoted or whatever. You know how you and I are living right now? Feel yourself. Feel your hands. Is it you? Yeah, it's me. It's me. This will translate someday into the eternal spiritual realm. How you live now matters. It matters now, and it will matter later. Are you with me? There are things that God has placed in our custody that work for or against that final day. How we treat people, who we really are, but most importantly, what we did with Jesus. Did you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you say yes, then Jesus said, then your life better show a change. You'll know them by their fruit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, How's Your Business? So glad you could join us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Jack Kibbs, and I'm excited that next week we're getting together on Friday night, September 8th, at the Honda Center for Just Church. The event is to gather people who have gone away from us. Maybe they're not fellowshipping anymore. Invite them back, and let's have an evening of worship, the Word of God, and to make a radical recommitment to Christ.
That's next Friday, September 8th, at the Honda Center for Just Church. The event and parking are totally free. Go to JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Kibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.